Morning, I would like to speak with you for a while about the resurrection cover-up. Now, you and I are living in a day and age when we are not only witnessing, but because of the way society is structured, we are indirectly a part of many cover-ups. It has been called different names by different people in different circumstances. It may be referred to as blackmail, whatever blackmail really means. We can look at it from that aspect, but we can also look at it from the aspect of lying, deceitfulness. So there's a great range at our disposal when we come to think of the meaning of cover-up. And most people are guilty of it. I remember when I was a practicing alcoholic, it was one of my strong points. And I remember vividly how very cleverly and very, very authentically the mind would lie in the deception regarding the cover-up. Of course, this is not only connected to alcoholics. This insidious thing is connected to all of mankind. And perhaps one of the greatest tragedies in the Christian church today is that we no longer want to hear truth. We no longer strive for genuine repentance, but at all costs, whatever it may, we will cover up. So again, on this Remembrance Day, we come to a great biblical truth. And I believe, personally, that it's a great biblical truth, and it is simply this, that there are more than one cover-up in the burial of Jesus Christ. For sure, the stone was rolled across the tomb to cover the entrance. Indeed, the frightened disciples had fled and were now covering up for fear of the Jews. And I think it's fair to say that every Christian in Jerusalem on this day, long ago, were trying to cover up when it came to their personal relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ. When you ask someone, are they a committed Christian? And they start to hesitate and they start to say, oh, I think so. Immediately they are portraying a cover up. Of course, this concept of cover up is not new, and it's very, very prevalent today in the Christian church. And for that matter, in the lives of many individual Christians, it's a deception. And you know as well as I do that the concept of cover-up is self-explanatory, especially in light of the Fitzgerald inquiry into police corruption. But we needn't just look at the Fitzgerald inquiry. It's all around us. It's in our family circle. But the world of the secular corrupt society is using this concept every day, and in every way possible. It is used by politicians brilliantly every day. And those who have the command of language and are able to use language are usually the most brilliant at it. Because you see, you can always use language as a camouflage. I remember when I did my 4 years of speech therapy, I learnt all the techniques of how to use words. And how to use words in a way in which they could really camouflage anything I wanted to say. But I chose, after that 4 years of training, not to use words to camouflage what I say. That is why I say it direct and I say it honestly, and it usually gets me into a lot of trouble. But I'm sure by now you are beginning to see what this cover-up concept is really all about. Doctors and psychologists and psychiatrists are confronted with it every day in their professional work. People come in to see them, and immediately there is a great cover-up. There is a great camouflage of words. Marriage guidance counselors are always confronted by great cover-ups. It's her fault. Oh no, it's his fault. And as the counselors and the psychiatrists and the doctors and psychologists listen to all of this cover-up, because of their professional training, they're able to see through that camouflage to the reality of what is really transpiring. Now, before us today, on this Remembrance Day from Holy Scripture, we are confronted with the greatest words the world has ever heard. Christ said, after 3 days, I will rise again. And these words were the very words that compelled Pilate to once again grant a request of the Pharisees and the religious leaders of that day. Take a guard, Pilate said. Go and make the tomb as secure as you know how. So they went and made the tomb secure by putting a seal or a big stone across the front of the tomb and then put the guards there to guard the tomb. Now, before us today is a very important principle which we must not overlook on this Remembrance Day. And it is this. When Christ was first brought before Pontius Pilate, the accusation against him was that of blasphemy and sorcery. But now, in regard to Christ's burial, the accusation is that he, the Lord Christ, is a deceiver. Now, it is the only time in the whole of Scripture that our Lord Jesus Christ is referred to as a deceiver. In John 8, when they wanted to try and accuse him of sorcery, they referred to him as Beelzebub, but now they are referring to him directly as Satan. Now, what is happening is simply this. The Jewish religious leaders, in going to the Roman governor, called Christ that deceiver and said that if Christ's disciples stole his body from the tomb, the last deception would be worse than the first. Now, isn't it fascinating that the religious leaders call Christ a deceiver? In other places in the Bible, Satan is the one who is called a deceiver, a liar and the father of lies. But here in Matthew 27:63, Christ's opponents use that name, that very name that is ascribed in Holy Scripture to Satan, to describe the Lord Christ. The Son of God is called a deceiver. Of course, the principle is very obvious. Satanic-influenced religious leaders are attributing the work of Christ to Satan. And as I've already taught you on the ministry of the Holy Spirit and already have taught you what the unpardonable sin is, what we can see here is blasphemy against the Holy Spirit again. What we have here, beloved, is the unpardonable sin. The Greek is on the board for you, planos, deceiver. Now, in simple language, these misguided religious leaders were claiming that Christ was an imposter and that he was seducing people to his way of life. And the irony of all this is that while the disciples of Christ failed to understand his predictions regarding his resurrection, even though he made them ever so clear in his teachings, the Pharisees and their associates did understand and did remember them. Now, it was their memory of what they had heard that caused them to plead with Pilate for security at the tomb. Oh my, those words, after 3 days I will arise, had thrown them into a frenzy. And isn't that usually what happens in a cover-up? However, from a careful reading of the Gospels, these religious leaders did not need to panic regarding Christ's disciples. That is, coming and stealing the body. And for that matter, propagating a false resurrection story. The disciples had fled. They were now covering up for fear of the Jews. As a matter of fact, at this moment, the last thing the disciples were thinking about was Christ's prediction regarding a resurrection. You read your Bible carefully, the Bible will reveal this to you. Also, the panic of those religious leaders was unnecessary if they had stopped to think that no force on earth would be able to prevent the fulfillment of Christ's prediction. We are learning this great lesson from Matthew 28, verses 11 through 15, which is a revelation to us that these religious leaders are themselves very dishonest people. And they did not trust Christ's disciples. Now, as the Gospel of Matthew unfolds, It unfolds great biblical truths for us on this Remembrance Day. Because Matthew now tells us what happens in terms of Pilate's order to seal the tomb and post the soldier guards around it. Listen to how graphic Matthew now is. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and, going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow, and the guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. Well now, Matthew does not let the matter rest, even after telling that the angel has rolled the stone away and frightened the guards out of their wits. He goes on to relate the following. While the women, to whom the risen Lord had just appeared, were on their way, some of the guards went into the city and reported to the chief priests everything that had happened. And when the chief priests had met with the elders and devised a plan, they gave the soldiers a large sum of money, telling them, "You are to say, his disciples came during the night and stole him away while we were asleep." Now even the very, very concept of that statement was utterly ridiculous, because the penalty for going to sleep on duty for a Roman soldier was death. Then it goes on to say, if this report gets to the governor, we will satisfy him, blackmail again, and keep you out of trouble. So the soldiers took the money and did as they were instructed. And this story has been widely circulated amongst the Jews even to this very day. Matthew, in recording the resurrection of Christ, is very deliberately pointing out the mean character and the weaknesses of the enemies of Christ. They had now become the deceivers. And their deception became front page news in Jerusalem. Now please don't underestimate these satanic deceivers. They were powerful. Yes, they had crucified Christ and they had charged him with blasphemy and with sorcery. But it was they who were the blasphemers. Now there's a very, very, very telling message for you and I in Scripture today, and it is this. Be ever so careful of blasphemy against the Son of God and the Holy Spirit. It was they who said this last deception will be worse than the first. Well, what was the first? Their accusation of Christ as a deceiver. What was the second? Their deception regarding the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, one of the beautiful truths which the Bible reveals on this Remembrance Day is that the resurrection of Christ displays the victory of God over all of his enemies. Yes, indeed, over all who oppose him. Let me put it to you simply. Today, if I had been trained from a very early boy and had a very brilliant educational background and had been given a very brilliant mind genetically, had all the skills and all that could be at my disposal, all of it would mean nothing if I did not know the power of Christ's resurrection in my body. And in my mind and in my soul. I have no proof today that I am a Christian except the resurrection. And neither do you. You can tell people till you're blue in the face that Christ was a great teacher, that you can tell them logically that he was the Son of God. You can tell them that he was the Messiah. But the bottom line is, how do you know? You know because you are born of God through the power of the resurrection. We're going to talk about it a little deeper tonight. We're going to talk about the Christ, Son of God, the God-man standing there before Martha, before he raises Lazarus from the dead and he says to her, "I am the resurrection and the life." When I look at the scripture again today, I see that for sure death itself is the most grim and threatening enemy of all. But these very smug and convincing religious leaders were enemies also. And their cause was devastated when Christ rose from the grave. And I want to tell you today that this precise moment of resurrection that took place long ago was the very thing that devastated Satan. Oh, the battle took place on the cross. There's no question about that. But you see, for too long, even Satan gets Christians occupied with the fact that the victory over him, over Satan, is at the cross. No, beloved, the victory over Satan is at the resurrection. Our Lord is alive. Now, what are we learning? We are learning that Christ's enemies paid hush money. We call it dirty money today, don't we? They paid hush money and a fabricated story. And that story, Matthew explains, was widely circulated and even believed when Matthew wrote his gospel, which was many decades later after the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so the deception grew and grew. And even today, scholars are part of the last deception. Did you know that? Liberal theologians today are part of the last deception. For example, some people have said that Christ never died on the cross. But somewhere near the end of the crucifixion process, he was taken down from the cross and another was substituted in his place. Others have said that Christ only fainted from his misery on the cross and he received the cool of the tomb so that he came out and was later seen by his Father. Others deny outright that Christ ever arose at all. But isn't it wonderful how the blessed Holy Spirit guided Matthew to write this accurate, inspiring account that the tomb was empty and that Christ had risen and is alive. In simple language, the tomb was empty simply because Christ rose to life again. Now, if the tomb had not been empty, the religious leaders would not have needed to fabricate a story to cover up what had actually happened. Now, what are we learning? We are learning that the matter of deceit is highlighted in this account of the resurrection. And when it comes to Christianity, it is very important that we distinguish between truth and falsehood. Indeed, our lives depend on knowing truth. Yet Christian truth is very hard to find. Did you know that? In science, we can devise various tests to assure us that something is true. But in the area of Christianity, there are no such techniques. And that is why there is a lot of fraud in religion today. Deceitfulness and deceivers. And each of these operate in connection with religion. And beloved, aren't we warned that in the latter days there will come those who will be deceivers and even deceive possibly some of the very elect. But isn't it fascinating that the religious leaders of Christ's day, who had ever so much to lose if Christ really was the Messiah, worked very hard to make Jesus Christ the deceiver? They actually worked overtime, and they did it by fabricating a deceitful story themselves. Today for the Christian church is Remembrance Day. That is, the founder of the Christian church revealed to the world that he arose from the dead. And you are here in this local assembly today because of the risen Lord Jesus Christ. But there is another truth which I must tell you on this Remembrance Day, and it is this. The risen Lord Jesus Christ has also sent his Holy Spirit into his church to prove that he is truly living and active with God, his Father in heaven. He has also sent his Holy Spirit into the heart and life of every born of God believer to reveal that he is alive. It's ironic that the religious leaders of Christ's day called him that deceiver. In fact, all who deny the resurrection of Jesus Christ and make up some story to cover up the truth of the resurrection, they are really the deceivers. And the greatest deceiver of all, Satan himself, is still busy today circulating foolish stories as he tries to cover up the truth. That is the truth of Christ's victory. Let me say it to you again in love. The victory of our Lord Jesus Christ was not completely accomplished on the cross. It was completely accomplished with his resurrection. Did you hear me? You see, the principle here is obvious. In Christ's victory, Satan sees his own defeat. Jesus Christ is alive. And if you believe that he is, you have sure hope of salvation and eternal life. Romans 10:9 says, if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. You see, there in Romans 10:9, the resurrection is essential to salvation. Beloved, my prayer for you today is that the Holy Spirit himself will reveal to you the significance of this Remembrance Day. In a moment we're going to sing Man of Sorrows, What a Name, for the Son of God who came, ruined sinners to reclaim. Hallelujah, what a Savior. Let us remember, we cannot have the crucifixion without the resurrection, and we can't have the resurrection without the ascension. Now tonight, by God's grace, I'll be back to bring you the message, I am the resurrection and the life. What does that really mean? But I trust this morning that you have learned the great lesson and the great significance of why they accused Christ of being the deceiver. Because that was the final thing that Satan couldn't handle. For he knew that when Christ arose from the dead, that he was defeated. And today we are in the power of the resurrection as Christians. Oh, we're waiting for our resurrection body for sure. And I can't get mine quick enough. There'll be no more pain. There'll be no more suffering. No more tears. But in the interim, the one thing I know and the one thing I want to encourage you to know, that if you are truly a born of God Christian, that because of this great fundamental biblical truth, he lives. He lives within you. And the power of his resurrection will sustain you no matter what. No matter what. It's not the power of Calvary that will sustain you. The power of Calvary will help you go through whatever trials and temptations and pain and suffering you may have, because he went through it for you. But it is the power of the resurrection. How did Paul put it? He said, I long to go through the suffering and the power of his resurrection. But Paul knew that there was victory in the Christ who arose from it. The hymn is 160. Man of sorrows, what a name for the Son of God who came. Ruined sinners to reclaim, hallelujah, what a thing. Lifted up was he to die, but listen to verse 5. When he comes, our glorious King, all his ransomed home to bring. Then a new song we'll sing, hallelujah, what a thing. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you for that day when He will come for His own. We thank you when all the ransom will be gathered together. And our Father, we thank you for the joy and the privilege of being with you now and with one another here in time. We thank you that this very day it is the power of the resurrection that sustains us in our Christian life. Thank you for what you've done for us. May your grace and your mercy and your peace be with us now and always. Amen. May we sing together verse 1 and the chorus of I Serve a Risen Savior. Be seated for a time of quiet meditation. I encourage you to have a time of fellowship around a cup of tea. Greet one another. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep you.